Same ground, different sound. You're on Homo Ground.
Hello out there. This is Maya McDonald coming to you from Brooklyn, New York for Homo Ground. We are continuing our four-part interview with Wynn Greenwood of Tracy and the Plastics along with Gina Young. This was recorded way back in May of 2021, right before Cruisin' Records reissued digitally the full Tracy and the Plastics catalog. So do check that out if you missed any of those records the first time or if you loved them then and have been looking for them. They're out. Wynn just wrapped up a Kickstarter for new music. Gina's got lots going on in LA. Visit them all on Instagram at Gina Genius, at Wynn Greenwood, at Cruisin' Records. Let's get into it. Here's part two of our interview with the two of those fine people from the spring of 2021. Gina, I was curious when you were invited to have your work put into the Mazer archives, what feeling that elicited from you?
It started very small before it got really big, which was just that Casey Winkleman from the Mazer saw the workshop production of Straight Play when we were working on it. And she came up afterwards and was just like, oh, we would love to take the script, any of your notes, like the program, anything you want. It would be so great to have that in the archives. And I was like, okay, well, how about I just Marie Kondo'd my entire apartment and I give you everything. Like, I'll just give you everything, you know? So it kind of spiraled out of control as things do. And then it was this really cool thing because due to the pandemic, they were like, well, we're starting to have a digital archive. And I was like, oh, that's perfect because most of the stuff I have, I don't want to give away. Like, I'm not dead. I'm not ready to like give away all of these things. So I scanned them instead. And so I think that I am their first like digital, or not first, but like I'm kind of their first sizable digital donation. They have over 500 pieces. And the kind of like thematically, the way that I was talking about it, when we did the event, we called it Riot Girl's Little Siblings, which was partly because of the album of demos that I released, but it was also partly because that was the time period that I identified with. And I think Wynn talked about this a little bit too, of like identifying with this, like Riot Girl, the original bands, I looked up to them. I was like, younger, just a little. Like, I was just a little bit younger. They were all out there touring, and I was in high school being like, oh man, they're so cool. Like, you know, I just, like, I was in Catholic school doing my best to be queer. I was not on a stage, like, calling people out and being, like, really vocal and living my truth. You know, like, I was in Catholic school trying to survive, basically. So I don't know. I guess I was just thinking of that idea of, like, what it is to be close in age, but not quite of something, but kind of to be the next generation of something. Not even the next generation, to be, like, the tail end of something, right? Because the first Riot Grrrl zines and bands and stuff was all around, like, 1991, 1992. I got into Riot Grrrl, like, actual chapters and going to shows and all that stuff around, like, 95, 96. I'm making the story way too long, but the point being that I always felt a little bit like a little sibling who was kind of like, oh, like, I also play in bands. I also make zines. I'm also going to chapters. We're also doing activism. But the media declared it dead, right? Like, the media was like, Riot Grrrl's over. We've moved on. Spice Girls are where it's at. Like, now it's time for pop and Britney Spears. We're super into Britney Spears. And the Mazer event to me really became an opportunity to be like, hey, all this stuff was still going on. And the mainstream media wasn't writing about it. Nobody particularly seemed to care about it. I think that it has to do with who, you know, the gatekeepers, the cultural gatekeepers who decide what's important, decided that this movement was a blip and was over. But the impact was actually a lot longer lasting, and it still lasts today. And there's still tons of people listening to these bands on Spotify and making videos about it on TikTok. And, like, I mean, tons of queercore and TikTok, sorry, queercore and Riot Grrrl stuff on TikTok, like, whoa. And so I guess the kind of unifying theme of the stuff that I gave to the Mazer was like, oh, here's what was happening right after that era that the media kind of called the Riot Grrrl era. You know, like, most of the stuff I gave them is from the late 90s through the mid aughts. Some of the stuff I gave them is from my newer plays, like these past few years in LA. But the idea is just, like, stuff was still happening. We have so many amazing photos. I mean, the zines were really powerful. They were also a lot more diverse. Like, I think the media critique was always like, oh, Riot Grrrl is a bunch of middle-class straight white girls, you know, with bad haircuts who are whining about whatever, whatever. And that personally wasn't my experience. Like, a lot of the bands that I liked were queer and did have women of color in them and did have, like, I don't know, like, a more intersectional perspective, which is what, like, I think the newest wave of feminism that has been really, like, popping off, if you will, digitally, has been very intersectional. And I think that it's really important to archive that stuff. Long answer, but that's what it is.
I love looking through. I mean, I went to the little sibling, Riot Grrrl's little sibling event. And it was awesome. It was so inspiring to see this, like, the kind of continuation of inspiration, like that, like, because from what I understand, you asked people to create something new, right? There were, like, a couple different things happening. One person did a cover of a song, but, like, other people wrote new material.
Yeah, like, I invited a few performers. I have a theater company, Sorority, that does these, like, salon kind of variety show style performances. And I invited some performers that I know have a connection to Riot Grrrl to talk, to do a piece, any kind of piece on how it influenced them or influenced by it. Yeah.
It was so cool. I don't know. I just love the, I'm just thinking about, like, a couple things. One is looking at, like, the kind of specificity of archive, like, this is your archive, and, like, what that actually, how that can be, like, a portal into so many things bigger than just, like, your specific life, but also what the specificity of, like, you as an individual, and, like, a collection of you, from you, how that anchors, like, a kind of inquiry or, like, a, you know, learning process or exploration process. I'm finding that more and more accessible of like, okay, I'm going to look at this thing, look at this really big thing through this like very specific moment or lens. There's something about that, like the kind of looking that that can enable that I think feels, I don't know if it's like a counterpoint to social media, but it feels really good right now. And then also just like, I love that like continued, yeah, just those like the relationality of that. Like Riot Girl for me was, I wasn't part of original Riot Girl. I did not consider myself a Riot Girl, but I loved those bands, and that definitely was like a part of my, what got me into playing music or being in bands. But there was something so about like being in relationship that was, it was not like a call to isolation. You know, for me, Riot Girl was like a call towards relationality.
I like what you just said about, or a minute back, about inspiration and how that ties to lineage, you know, that it's sort of like, here's who inspired me and here's who inspired them. And then also it was sort of a, Riot Girl was a very lateral inspiration because it wasn't like, oh, these are majorly famous people inspiring like people who are like all just starting out. It was like a lot of people starting out all over the country, none of whom were like majorly famous or majorly proficient musicians, all inspiring each other because of their mentality and their, you know, common, I don't know, worldview, I guess.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, it makes me think about, like, I'm still just, like, still make art for my friends. Like, I'm just, like, that's, you know, like, that's who? That's the audience. I don't know. That is so cool. I did not ever, hadn't ever thought about that's maybe where that comes from.
Right, wasn't that the whole, I don't know if it was Kathleen Hanna or somebody who was, like, your best girlfriend? Like, idolize your girlfriend, idolize your best friend, or... I'm bastardizing the quote, but you all know what I'm saying. It was like, idolize your best friend, basically, and like make bands with your friends. And yeah.
Join us in celebrating 25 years of Adam Male. Since 1998, Adam Male has been a leader in providing you with the best in gay sex toys and products to take your sexual explorations to the next level. Visit homoground.com/AdamMale and use code GROUND for 50% off one item plus free shipping on orders over $20 in the US and Canada. That's homoground.com/AdamMale, code GROUND, GROUND. Some items may not be eligible for full discount.
Yo, this is your boy Carlex coming at you hot with another fire lo-fi track. Even though the music has always flowed so naturally to me, for years I've struggled with staying motivated, and frankly, self-management has been really difficult for me to learn. I always hear from successful content creators that the most important element of our work is to stay consistent. And geez, that's like my biggest struggle. I spent loads of energy reading self-help books and trying to learn self-management techniques, and even though I knew I just had to sit down and do it, it was so freaking hard. I found myself agonizing over my inability to focus, and it would make me procrastinate over and over again. Quarantine has been really difficult to adjust to for those with short attention spans, yo. Luckily, I found Focus Time. Focus Time is a co-working space hosted by queers and for queers. I don't know if it's because it's gay or because it actually made me productive, but I cannot get enough of these sessions. From my first session, I knew that something had clicked in my work routine. Day one of Focus Time, I wrote and dropped this beat. Day two of Focus Time, I started editing my first YouTube vlog. And by my third session, I was immediately focused and ready to work the moment I sat down at my desk. I'm overwhelmed by the success I've seen from just 1 week of using this platform. So the moderators are gonna have to get used to my gay ass. There are 2-hour sessions every weekday. The 2 hours are broken down into 1-hour sprints, and a 15-minute break time. It's so uplifting. I've met ambitious queers from all over the United States in this break room. If you want to join the next session, you can navigate to homoground.com/focustime. There, you'll be able to donate and sign up for your first session. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Homo Ground episode.
My baby's gone. Where did she go? She left but didn't tell me so. My baby's gone. Where can she be? She's gone, but she's right next to me. I ask her, she says it's nothing serious, says it's nothing serious, says nothing serious. Ask her, she says it's nothing serious, says it's nothing serious, she says. Small, I'd hum a tune just like this one I sing to you, but you won't break or crack a smile. I say, come to bed. You say, in a while. I ask you, you say it doesn't matter. You say that nothing matters. You say that nothing matters. I ask you, you say that nothing matters. You say that nothing matters. You say. My baby's gone, can't let it go. She's gone but didn't tell me so. My baby's gone, I was the last to know. My baby's gone.
Hey, Wynn, what are you working on mostly these days?
I'm working very slowly on new songs. I have a new song that is ready to come. It's like, I'm ready. And so it's gonna, I think I'll probably put that out in some way, shape, or form this summer. Actually, Coley Mixon plays guitar on this song. I think Coley was interviewed on Homo Ground. They are an amazing musician, and so it's very slowly working on a new record, and I was working on a video, my projects have really slowed down. Like, it's been that as a, yeah, what do I want to say? So I'm working on a new record and new video. And I've also been teaching, figuring out how to teach in a different way. I feel like that's been one of my projects this year. I left a full-time teaching job in a university before the pandemic, and I've been figuring out this year, kind of experimenting in how I want to teach and who, like, what that can look like and what that can be. So yeah, those are some of the things.
And I took one of Wynn's classes, and it was cool and it was vulnerable, and I highly encourage everyone to do it.
Yay!
Yeah.
How can people sign up for that?
Basically, the best way is to go to my Instagram and wait for me to post something, or you can direct message me.
Ooh, invitation for a DM. That is a bold move.
I'll be doing some workshops again, probably maybe in late summer or early fall. But primarily they're like workshops about video performance, and I'm going to be doing, you know, there's a lot of other artists who need to use video now. And so I want to help them figure out like how that can work for them. But then I'm also going to be doing just like an artist project process group, I think, where we get to work on like projects that people are developing.
Did you want to touch on your relationship with Cruisin' Records at all and how that sort of came to be?
Cruisin' Records is amazing. Clyde is a good friend. And actually, Clyde was in our art group that we had.
Yes, love Clyde.
Yeah, that we started in 2009. And so I love the bands on Cruisin' Records are just amazing. It just feels like a dreamy dream. And I was like, hey, it's time to reissue these records. And I asked Clyde if they'd be interested at all, and they were. So it feels like a dream come true.
And there's t-shirts. You should plug the t-shirts.
Yes, thanks everyone. Okay, these t-shirts are an updated design. So that part of the design was from like 2002. And then I updated it. This isn't going to be interesting.
I got it covered. So Wynn made amazing t-shirts for her album release and sweatshirts, and they're white with purple, and you can find them on the Cruisin' Records website. Is that good? Yes. I also had my little sister design t-shirts for my record, and you can find those on my website. I mean,
also the sorority.
Oh yeah, the sorority sweatshirts are pretty rad. I have to say the sorority logo was designed by Janelle Campbell, and those sweatshirts are pretty big sellers. And then also, like, I mean, tote bags and t-shirts designed by my little sister with art that she made herself, and a quote from the album, which is just fun.
This was really a delight. Thank you both for being in conversation.
Thanks for listening to Homoground. This episode opened with the song This Is Dog City by Tracy and the Plastics. The second song you heard just after the break was My Baby's Gone by Gina Young. You can find links to more information on the artists and how to purchase their music on the episode page at homoground.com/episode272.
If you like what you heard, please feel free to leave us a review on whatever podcast streaming app you're using, or share this episode with a friend and tag us on social media at Homoground. As an independent podcast, we also rely on our Patreon supporters. You can join us at homoground.com/Patreon. Not only do you become a member of our Patreon, but you become a member of the Homoground community. Homoground members get all the latest updates on episodes before they're released and a behind-the-scenes look at how the podcast is made. You also get access to our private Slack and Discord groups, where you can meet other Homoground listeners from around the world. Homoground members also get access to our 24-hour virtual cafe, where you can pop in anytime. Not only that, but you get free access to our guided virtual co-working sessions. When you become a Homoground member, you'll get an official Homoground membership card, plus our special green and white Homoground logo stickers that only our Patreon supporters get. Plus, we'll just send you a bunch of other stickers that we have. We've got a bunch of random designs, and you can stick them wherever you want. Just be sure to tag us on social media at Homoground. This episode was produced by Maya McDonald, who also conducted the interview. You can follow Maya on Instagram at KidInTheAttic. Homoground is created and executive produced by me, Lynn Casper. You can follow me at lynncasper.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.